Now, Saturday Night Theatre.
Jack in the Box by Jerry Jones, with Nigel Anthony as John, Nellis Hughes as his sister Anne, and Ken Cumberledge as Ted.
You don't mind if I come in, do you? I'll take that as an okay. What's wrong, eh? Come on, you can tell me. Hey. Look what I've got for you here. Tea and biscuits. Yeah, you'll feel better after that. Aren't you ever going to speak? I mean, it'd be nice if you said something. It'd help pass the time. Oh, come on, take some tea and biscuits. Take some.
How is he?
Just the same.
Did he say anything at all?
Just lies there.
You taking the tray of tea things, like I said?
Oh, yes, Mr. Peterson, I took him the tray of tea things.
And?
He knocked the whole damn lot onto the floor, that's what he did.
Oh.
He may not be talking, but he's certainly able to move when he wants to.
I'm not doing very well with that, Mr. Williams, am I? I wish I knew what was wrong.
Well, we know what's wrong.
I mean, especially wrong. How many times have you tried, Ted?
Two. The Phillips and Jackson have also paid him a visit.
Perhaps it'd be best to leave him alone for a while.
Well, maybe. But I'll pop in again later for one more try.
I'd appreciate that, thank you. I mean, he's been like that for a week now. His wife's a lovely lady, isn't she? Her name's Sarah, did you know?
Yes, did.
Yeah, she's very nice. Very understanding.
Steady now, Mr. Peterson.
Oh, don't worry, I don't think I'm her type.
They're worried about you, you know. Worried for you. Especially old Peterson. It's him who keeps asking me to pop in. Although we're all concerned, of course. Well, they don't like it, you just lying here. It upsets them. Upsets all of us. We don't like it at all.
Well, nor do I.
God, I don't believe it. He spoke. Get the flags out.
I'm sorry if I'm boring you.
Well, it's just that you lie there.
Is that what you're saying? I'm a boring bugger?
No, it's not.
I don't know, Peterson. Just leave me alone.
Okay, I'll pop back.
Don't
later.
Bother. I just want to be left alone.
You sound like Greta Garbo. Right. Well, I could do with a rest myself. You're not the only sick guy in the world, you know. I'll see you later, perhaps. It's lovely out there. Lawn's covered in leaves. Oh, by the way, it was the 12th round.
What?
When Ketchell dropped Johnson. I heard you on the phone last week. You were talking to someone about boxing, and you said that after Ketchell dropped Johnson, Johnson got up and hit Ketchell so hard the two of Ketchell's teeth were stuck in Johnson's glove.
Well, they were.
I know, but you said it was the 11th round, and it wasn't. It was the 12th.
Are you...
Round 12, October the 6th, 1909. If there's anything I know about, it's boxing. See you around.
No, no, wait a minute. Sit up.
Oh, suddenly you want to talk.
Well, if it's about boxing.
You a fight fan?
All my life. Learned it from my dad, I suppose.
Was he a boxer?
Nobody could talk about it until the cows came home. Night after night, he'd talk about the great fights, and then suddenly jump to his feet, say good night, God bless, and be upstairs and asleep in 10 seconds.
When did he die?
Well, let's just stay with boxing, shall we?
Sure.
I don't want to talk about my dad, that's all.
Fine. But it was you who brought up his name, remember?
I'll tell you one thing, though. He didn't mind the idea of dying.
Do you?
He said there was going to be a beautiful glow just before the end, and everything would be all right forever.
What sort of a glow?
And his description was something like that sun out there, only bigger and closer and really beautiful. I've seen flashes of it myself.
Sounds a bit corny, really. Still, it is very beautiful out there.
And in a few days' time, it will still be beautiful out there. But what will we be?
I bet the gardener hates it. Gardeners hate autumn.
So does my wife. If there's one thing she really hates, it's cleaning leaves from the garden.
You're lucky you've got a wife to do it.
You're not married, then?
No, not me. Not the type, if you know what I mean.
Oh, you...
Yes, that's what I mean.
Oh, bloody hell.
Well, don't worry, you're safe with me.
I didn't know gays went in for boxing.
Well, there you are, you see. We haven't all got limp wrists. Your wife was in here yesterday, as a matter of fact.
Was she?
You were out cold. She said best not to bother you and went back home. I don't know why she bothers with you at all.
Well, perhaps she loves me.
Well, perhaps she'd love you more if you cleared the leaves off the garden.
I just don't think about it.
Peterson would clear the lawn for her.
Oh, good old Peterson, son of the earth.
To tell you the truth, I think you're a lazy bugger as well as a boring one.
I'll stop you in a minute.
Oh, I shouldn't try. I'm not just interested in boxing. I was a pro for 7 years. Hard to believe, isn't it?
And now you're in here.
Funny old world.
And what happened?
I don't know. One moment I was fit as a flea, and the next I started getting flashes in my head. And I don't mean sunshine flashes like you get. I went to my doctor and he said he didn't think there was anything really to worry about. Well, as far as he was concerned, there wasn't, was there? But 6 months later, and I'm here. 8, 9, 10, out! And I see, though, aren't they? I don't know how they keep it up.
When did you come here?
2 days ago. Ted's the name. Ted Andrews.
Mine's John.
I know.
Yes, very nice, kind, compassionate, all that.
Well, they are. It's no act.
I know. I'm just enjoying being miserable.
Yeah, you're not bad.
Look, Ted, I'm grateful to you all, but honestly, like I said, I don't feel like talking.
That's okay.
I just want to lie here on my own with my thoughts.
But just don't get too depressed, okay? I know it's easy to say that.
I know.
But it's the only way to come.
I haven't had it too bad. Now, when I think of the way my dad died, taking a really long time about it, dying from the moment he was born.
Aren't we all? Even Peterson.
But most people aren't too bright about life. They don't open the curtain until Act Three,
eh?
I mean that most people don't see the light until it's out.
The only light going out I know is when someone catches you with a right hook just as you're coming forward with your guard down.
You ever been knocked out?
Yeah, twice.
What was it like?
It was like nothing. One moment I was worrying about my opponent, and the next minute I was somewhere else with people being nice to me.
Well, that's what death would be like, I think.
Oh, good.
My dad thought so, I'm sure. He was always talking about what he called the open door.
What door's that?
Well, the one at the end of the tunnel, you know, the long tunnel with the door at the end.
Oh, that door.
Open that door, he said, and you see paradise. I have a funny feeling, though, that Dad's idea of paradise was a vast public house filled with angels who looked like Mam. I was in a pub when he first met my Mam. She was a barmaid, he was a soldier. I think what I'm trying to say, Ted, is that the overture is often mistaken for the show.
I thought you didn't want to talk. Especially about your dad.
I don't know what I want.
What's made you open up all of a sudden?
Oh, you, I suppose.
Do you want to talk or not?
I thought I didn't, but there's things I want to say. Get off my chest.
Well, like I say, there's nothing on the telly.
It's as though Mum and Dad were close and listening, and I'm hoping they'll understand. I don't know if I'm making any sense at all. Probably not.
Do you want a drink?
Yeah, thanks. I'll have some of that orange there.
Right.
Does Peterson really fancy Sarah? She's in her 50s, you know.
He thinks she's God's gift. Anyway, he's no spring chicken.
And if he waits a little, he can have her.
No, I don't think so. He's gay, too. Oh, he thinks it's a secret, of course.
Oh, perfect. That's how she likes her men. Sleep in bed and great in the garden.
Yeah. Here's your drink. Yeah. Cheers. So, you can't die with a guilty conscience, eh? Fitzy, I'm not a priest, really.
Guilt is the worst bloody cancer of all.
I'll swap it for what I've got. So, tell me.
No. I don't think I will. I was right when I said I don't want to talk.
Spit it out, for God's sake. Get it off your chest, like you said.
I'd only get it wrong.
Better out than in, though.
We always get it wrong, don't we? When we think and talk about times gone by, memory always makes things bigger or better or smaller and worse. We failed to get it exact, if there is such a thing. But it didn't taste any better years ago, and shoes didn't really last any longer. We just think that they did, don't we?
Memory lane, John, where girls were sluts if they put their tongues in your mouth. Not what my dad says, anyway.
That's right. What's more, I thought I sang like Frank Sinatra. I dreamed of driving one of those long, long cars that we only saw in the dark at the Odeon. You know the sort? Like a big pink shark. In the real world, though, it was Kennedy who got shot.
You were a bit old to be having those kind of fantasies, weren't you?
I'd never grown up. Couldn't work the trick somehow.
Where were you living then?
Twickenham. Not far from the rugby ground.
Trust a Welshman.
Except I only used to watch the games on the telly.
Were you married then?
Sure, and a father. No long Odeon cars for me, though. When I travelled, it was by bus or train. Mind you, those were the days when you could light up your cigarette and blow it all over the woman in front of you, and she'd only smile. Thinking how masculine was the smell of tobacco and how much like Alan Ladd I looked. Even the trains smoked in those days. Even the trains...
You all right?
Huh?
I said, are you all right?
Why?
You just seem to drift off for a moment.
What was I talking about?
Alan Ladd.
No, before all that.
Well, I can't say I'm sure, unless it was your dad.
Oh, that's it, Dad. Now, let me tell you, Ted.
Whatever way they take us out, we'll never have a funeral like the one my dad was given. It was a funeral you could have put on at the Whitehall Theatre and had a preacher who had as much sensitivity as a scrum half. I can see him now standing in the pulpit looking like Captain Ahab, telling us all that life was a voyage through uncharted seas.
A journey through indescribable things which can't be described. An adventure through the map of the mind, or as the song says, a trip to the moon on Gosling's wings.
Gossamer, you bloody fool, Gossamer.
Today, we are gathered here to pay our last respects to the memory of Jack. It is often said, dear brethren, that we start life in a body and end in a box. Well, Jack is in his box, asleep in the wooden cuddle that comes to us all. The body, though, is as nothing. For when Jesus calls you, he cares not for the flesh or the pleasures that flesh once gave. Jesus is not interested in pleasure. We have a lifetime of sin and an afterlife of the opposite. It would be nice, of course, to think of heaven as an everlasting Butlins, but where Jesus is concerned, we can't expect miracles. I gather that Jack requested the hymn Jerusalem be played at his funeral, but I'm afraid our organist, Mr. Samuels, has been taken ill, and his replacement, Mr. Tingling, can't play Jerusalem.
Dad would love it if he played old MacDonald.
However, Mr. Tingling is prepared to have a go at Sus Van Vach. And I'm sure that if you don't know the words, and the Welsh very rarely do, the dear dead Jack wouldn't mind if you just la-la.
He'd still prefer old MacDonald had a farm. On your feet, everyone. Here tonight, there tonight, give it an oink, oink. It wasn't really like that, of course. I mean, those weren't his exact words, but the preacher did have a wooden leg and a brain on crutches. And the day was filled with more madness than it had a right to, even for Dad. Bloody fast is what it was. If the old Goonshaw had made a sketch of it and Harry Seacombe had played the preacher, they would have said he was going over the top.
Poor old Jack.
It wasn't him who was bothered. It was me. He was dead all right, but it was me who was bothered.
Were you there when he died?
No. That's the point. That, Ted, is the point. That is the whole terrible point.
You mean he was in Wales and you were in Twickenham?
Worse than that. Not only was I in Twickenham, I was in bed with Ava Gardner.
You're beautiful, really beautiful, you know that.
The beauty is but skin deep, it's what's below that counts.
I'll go along with that. So, what's below? Fill me in.
Oh, care, compassion, a sense of what is right and wrong.
To hell with those things, sweetheart. I'm talking about below, you know what I mean? Below.
Oh, you mean?
You bet I do. To put it simply, baby, the Welsh always give me the hots.
You want to make love?
See what I mean? The Welsh catch on quick. Tell an Englishman you got the hearts, he'll give you an aspirin.
You mean here and now?
That's right. Here and now in Twickenham.
Oh, God. What can I say?
Yes is what you can say. Just lie back, close your eyes and say yes, yes, yes.
It's not an easy thing to say.
You want to, don't you?
Yes.
There you are. You said it. See how easy it is?
I'm just melting in your arms.
Not too much melting, baby. The night is young and we're going. Nowhere.
It's always like that, isn't it, Ted? There's always a bloody telephone. So I came quickly out of my dream, saw that it was 7 a.m. Sarah was snoring as I scrambled to the phone downstairs. I was all confusion and underpants and memories of Ava as I picked up the phone. I half expected it to be Frank Sinatra saying, "You bastard, I'm coming to get you." But it wasn't Frank Sinatra. It was my sister in Wales.
Who was it?
It was Anne.
Anne who?
My sister, Anne.
God grief. Why is she phoning at this time of the morning?
It's my dad. He's been taken ill.
Oh, no.
It's pretty bad from the sound of things. I'll have to go home.
Well, what's happened to him?
He's had a sort of stroke or something. He's in hospital.
Oh, it'll be all right. Don't worry. Look, give me my dressing gown. You go and get something on. I'll make some tea. Oh, look at the state of me. I haven't woken up yet.
Nor me. Perhaps it's all a dream.
What did you say to Anne?
Well, I told her I didn't think it was possible for me to get off today and that I'd travel up tomorrow.
So it's really bad, is it?
Well, it's hard to tell, really. He's unconscious at the moment. I'll try and get there tomorrow afternoon sometime. I'll need to check the train times.
I'm sure they'd let you off work in the circumstances. Yeah, well, just ask.
Tomorrow will be fine.
Well, it's up to you.
It'll happen one day, I suppose, but it's the day I've been dreading for years.
I know.
The kid's still asleep.
Looks like it.
Good.
We'll have that tea, then. We'll
put some clothes on first.
Oh, yeah, right.
A dressing gown, please. Thank you.
Oh, God. I don't know what I'm doing. Where's the sugar?
I've put sugar in.
How much?
2, as usual.
It doesn't seem like it.
Put some more in, then.
Well, where is it?
There, look. Right in front of you.
Oh, yeah.
Do you want anything to eat?
No, I don't think so.
A bit of toast?
No, not really. I don't feel hungry.
Well, not me, but I think I'll have something anyway.
10 years. 10 years since I saw him, Sarah.
You could have done, couldn't you?
Yeah, I know.
Why you let it get like this, I don't know. I mean, I'm very sorry and everything. Of course I am. But to be honest, you've no one to blame but yourself.
Yeah, I know.
I kept telling you to go and see him, didn't I?
And I intended to, honestly. It's just that once I left home, everything was suddenly so different. I was happy for the first time.
Look, I know all about this, don't I?
This tea's sweet.
I told you I'd put 2 sugars in.
But it didn't taste as though you had.
Look, all that happened was that you left home and you suddenly started mixing with people you really liked and you didn't want it to stop, that's all that... Yes, you could.
I'm ashamed of myself. Even if he's alive, he probably won't recognise me, and even if he does, what would he say?
Hello, stranger.
That's right. Hello, stranger. Better late than never. Must if he's being kind. Oh, I can't drink this.
Do you want another one?
No. What I want is to be back in bed with Ava Gardner.
What?
Well, that's what I was doing when the phone rang, having it off with Ava Gardner.
Serves you right, then. That was me having a worry dream about finding a new house.
You're always having worry dreams. It's the only kind you ever have.
I can't help it. It's the way I am.
You ought to see a psychiatrist.
I ought to see one. At least I wasn't in bed with Ava Gardner.
I should hope not.
Look, it's early in the morning. Your dad's in hospital. You can't drink your tea. I've gone off eating, and all we can talk about is bloody Ava Gardner. Honestly, it's like being in a madhouse with you. It's not funny, really.
No, I'm not laughing because it's funny. It's like when Barbara was telling me about when she went to her sister's funeral. When they drove into the cemetery, they saw that sign saying, "No Morris dancing in the crematorium." Well, I feel like she did, not knowing whether to laugh or cry or what. I'm scared. That's what it is. I'm scared of facing my dad. To tell you the truth, I shan't be sorry. If he's dead when I get there.
John!
No, I hate myself for saying it.
Then don't say it. You don't mean
don't
it.
Don't I? I wish to God I could just take him in my arms and kiss him to death.
Well, what are we going to do now? 7:30 in the morning.
Oh, I don't know. I can't think straight.
I suppose we could think about what you're going to take with you.
Well, I've just thought. I'll have to take that terrible suit.
Well, I told you to get another one, didn't I?
I mean, he might be dead when I get there. I'll need it for the funeral. I look worse than he does.
Well, if you do have to wear it, you'll have to pray for weather bad enough to wear a mac. I'm going to lie down for a while. You may as well do the same. There's nothing we can do at the moment.
No, nothing to do. No Morris dancing in the crematorium.
Come here. Give me a hug.
That's me that wants the hug.
Same thing.
Oh, that's better. Oh. I haven't had a hug in the morning for a long time. That's the worst thing about you, actually. You're very mean with the hugs.
But I'm good at correcting your spelling.
Agreed.
The wonderful organiser.
Oh, the best.
And putter up of shelves and gardening.
Oh, true. Just the hugs.
Well, nobody's perfect.
You'll do for me.
Aren't I the lucky one, then?
Hello? Oh, hello, Anne, love. Oh, no. When? Yes. Yes, yeah, sure, yeah. Sure. Yeah, well, that's something, isn't it? Yes. Well, as I said, I'll let you know what time the train gets in. No, we're just talking and things, yeah. Yeah. She sends her love. I'll be there before you know it. Thanks for ringing, love. I'm really sorry about everything. See you soon. God bless. See you soon. Yeah, God bless. Well, that's it.
All over?
Yes, about a quarter of an hour ago, it seems.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Anyway, it seems it was peaceful at the end.
That's good.
Perhaps I will have a cup of tea after all.
Right. Good idea.
I have to wear that bloody suit now.
You were right.
I was miles away, that's all. Sitting in the train going home to Wales.
Smoky ghosts.
That's right. Pictures of seaside places on the carriage walls. All those long ago people behind glass. There I was, a married man and a father, and yet still a child, really, like in those pictures. Frozen to buckets and spades, standing in their black and white sunshine. No seasons for them. Certainly no funerals. You know, Ted, I just sat there looking at them, smoking cigarette after cigarette, and in my head, I could hear my father's voice on the night before I left home. "He'll be back," he said to my sister. "Don't worry, he'll be back." She just sat on the sofa, crying her eyes out. Then up the stairs he went. At the top he stumbled and swore in Welsh and burst into laughter at some private joke. That's the last I saw or heard of him laughing at some private joke. What a life he had. Living in the past, looking forward to its finish. When he was in his comforting cups, he'd sit back in the chair, loosen his tie and talk of Jerusalem. He'd been there as a soldier in the First World War. Never got away from it, really.
Is that why he wanted it played at his funeral? Jerusalem?
No, Ted...
Well, he didn't get it, though, did he? Sospan Vach
is what
he
got. I told you.
Bloody lucky he didn't get happy birthday
Ted,
to
Ted,
you.
Ted, I told you. It wasn't really like that. It was just something like that. Now, Jerusalem was real, though. It was an experience he could talk about forever. The Church of Nativity, the Golden Gates, he could talk your head off.
Like father, like son.
Well, perhaps that's what had happened to the preacher at Dad's funeral. Perhaps he'd been talking to Dad.
What do you mean?
Oh, nothing.
Oh, see, yeah. I've forgotten about the preacher having the wooden leg.
Any evening after the pubs were shut, he'd stretch out in that chair of his, often never taking his overcoat off, and he'd say, "The Dad and Els," he'd say, "The Dad and Els, boy." It's either the Golden Gates, the Church of Nativity, or the Dad and Els, and my mum. My lovely mum just listened to it all for the 1,000th time as she did her killing housework. Women always do working in those days, day and night, but I have to say that Dad never raised a finger to help her. He came home, yet he slept, and he went out again, and that was that. Never entered his head to help. He probably thought Jesus popped in once a week to clean up and cook.
Well, you think Jesus turns the garden over?
Maybe I do, but Sarah complains about it sometimes, and my mum never did. Never. She even apologised when the hard work made her ill. It killed her in the end, but she never complained. She was that kind of woman. Well, they despise them now. When he just sat there rambling on, my mum would stand there ironing or something, wearing that pinny she always wore, and just smiling at him in a way that showed she could still see the man in the wedding photo, tall and erect, in the years before the drink came first.
Did you go in the army?
Yeah, I'm afraid so. National service. We didn't have a choice.
Well, you didn't like it, then?
I hated it. At least being your age, you missed all that. Oh, you know something? I feel really tired.
I'm not surprised.
How do you feel?
A bit like I used to feel after 8 rounds.
Oh, thanks, Ted. Thanks for the company.
That's all right.
What is it you're dying of? Is it this?
Like I said, I prefer not to think about it, thanks.
Okay. Funny thing for a boxer, though. Never heard of it before.
Yeah, well, it takes all sorts.
I suppose so.
Did you do a bit of boxing?
Oh, that's right, in the army, 227, 29, 38 Tour, Royal Artillery. This is number 4, tell the tart that I want more, roll me over, leave me down and do it again.
I thought you said you were tired.
I lost my best friend in the army, Ted. A Scotsman. Lovely fellow he was, we called him Jock.
Did you now? That was original.
We were on manoeuvres on the Yorkshire Moors, night time, and we were just sitting on the grass. In the dark, fogs blowing away. Just having a chat about things, a bit like we are now, really. We joined up on the same day, done our initial training together, and ended up in the same camp. Well, anyway, there we were, talking away. And suddenly, Jock stood up and he said he had to get back to his radar van. Off he went. And when he'd gone about 50 yards, there was suddenly this bloody great explosion. He'd trodden on one of the mines that we'd all been assured had been cleared. That was the end of him. I'll tell you the truth, I went crackers for an hour or so, and I just wanted to kill everybody. Especially the officer who said the area was clear. Shall I tell you something? That very same officer was asleep in his tent when the explosion went off, and shouting like a mad thing, he went running towards the smoke, yelling to everybody to stay away. Well, I didn't. I went up to him and I hit him full in the face with my fist. I could have been court-martialed or something, but nothing ever happened. Except that the officer got a medal or a recommendation or something for entering the danger zone. What was left of Jock, which was only his watch, was sent back in a box to his family in Scotland. Poor old Jock. Scotland forever.
What about you on the train to Wales? You still want to talk about it?
Well, when I arrived in Wales, it was hot, I can remember. I was sweating as my sister came towards me. Then, after the tears and hugs, her husband drove us back to Dad's house. It was where they lived. It's really strange, you know, being back in this house after all these years. Feels haunted. Not just this living room, the whole house.
It is. I mean, it really is.
I believe you.
You know the bedroom above us? The one that Grandad and Gran died in? Well, that's haunted worse than a lot.
In what way?
I sometimes hear Gran's voice coming from the room, calling out, you know, like she did in those weeks when she lay ill up there. I never go in that room unless I have to.
What a place this is. Hardly Sunnybrook Farm, is it?
Mam died here, of course, in this very room. And our sister. Been too many deaths in this house. I'd be glad to get away from it. Once we've sold this house and all the money sorted out, Tom and I are going to buy a place of our own.
Where is Tom? Didn't look too good in the car.
Well, not surprising, considering he only came out of hospital yesterday.
Bloody hell. Be nice to hear some good news.
Well, he's just had a big stomach operation. He's still supposed to be in hospital, but he insisted on walking out so he could drive you here from the station. With your brother coming from London, he said, he won't be the kind who travels on buses.
God, no wonder he said he was tired and went to bed. What a character.
Exactly. People often say, Anne, you've got the sort of husband who would kill you one moment and die for you the next. It's true. He'll be coming down again soon. We're not staying here tonight. Tom can't stand the place any more than I can, so I'll be staying with him at his mother's place, and you'll be staying with Bill and Pat Evans. They're friends of Tom's parents. We'll only be about half a mile away from each other. Bill knew Dad very well. You like Pat, she's full of fun.
Oh, well, we could do with a bit of that, couldn't we?
We'll go out and get some fish and chips soon, okay? The old Neptune shop's still there.
Lovely. What was Dad like towards the end?
He just lived in a world of his own. For the last year, he didn't get out of bed. He said he didn't want to move about because there were flames in his slippers and ghosts on the landing.
He was probably right about the ghosts.
Just after you left home, a woman by the name of Avril knocked on our front door one evening, and when Dad answered it, she said, "Hello, Jack, remember me?" "Never seen you before in my life," he said. "Well," she said, "you're the father of my child, and it's time you helped out with some money." Well, Dad just slammed the door in her face. She kept knocking and knocking and shouting through the letterbox, but after a while she went away and never came back.
Well, she must have been crackers.
Very likely. But she didn't say how old the child was, and let's face it, Dad was always very popular with the ladies. God knows why, but he was. There was just something about him they loved.
Yeah, they should have asked Mam what he was like. That's it, to change their tune.
Oh, they all knew about him, all right. It just didn't seem to make any difference. He could make them laugh, I suppose. And women like men who can make them laugh. It's sad, you know. Lots of people enjoyed his company, but there was never anyone who could make him laugh.
Funny to think of him lying somewhere now, not waiting to be buried. Oh, I wish I'd come home a long time ago.
I wish you had too.
It just got harder and harder to do it, and I was scared of facing him after all that time.
He always talked about you.
Well,
you know, when I phoned you, And you said you were coming home. I phoned the hospital and asked them to tell Dad that you were on your way home. And when they phoned me back shortly afterwards to say he'd died, the nurse told me they told Dad you were coming home and
she
said...
No, don't say anything, love, please. I don't want to know.
John,
this is going to haunt me, Anne. Haunt me for the rest of my days.
I'll go wake Tom up. And we'll go out and get those fish and chips.
Oh, this room is so full of memories. Mam sitting in that chair knitting and fat with a heart of gold.
Oh, yes.
She gave out so much love, so much. Mm. And Dad sitting over there under that picture of camels crossing the desert talking about the First War. What was the First War?
The Dardanelles. Yeah.
And then you two coming in here one day after school during the time that both Dad and me were on the dole and there was no food in the house. I was sitting on the settee and you came in with a sweet that someone had given you at school and you broke it in half so that we could share it. Ghosts all over the place.
By the way, we've got to go and order a wreath tomorrow. We'll pick you up at Bill and Pat's after lunch. You're having lunch with them.
Yeah, okay. It's hard to imagine a house without any food in it now, isn't it? No food at all. Even the poorest seem to have food now.
Thanks to the Conservatives. Never had it so good.
Yeah, it was bloody Conservatives. Look at people like us and the mess we were in. It's a good job Dad in the life to hear you praise the Conservatives.
Oh,
he used to say to me, I don't care what you do as long as you don't vote Tory. Do that and you're out. This very day I can't go into a polling booth or feeling Dad at my shoulder.
I don't really know much about politics.
Yeah, well, people who don't know much about politics end up having to share their sweets. Now, you're not a Tory, Anne. You're just a lovely girl.
And now I'm going to share my fish and chips.
Oh, I can pay for the fish and chips, don't me.
Right.
What do Bill and Pat do?
Oh, Bill's a painter and decorator and Pat works in the library. Hello, love. Have a nice sleep.
God, it's bloody spooky up there.
Well, we went out and brought some fish and chips back and scared each other with stories of ghosts and whatnot. Poor Tom was holding his stomach with laughter and agony and he kept saying his stitches were coming apart. It was no pitch black outside. Suddenly there was a knocking on the window. We all froze in fear, but it was only Anne's friend. We let her in and she produced a big bag of fish and chips. I thought you'd fancy these, she said. And the next day at Bill and Pat's house, guess what I had for lunch?
Had enough.
Mm. Lovely.
Well, we don't have fish and chips very often, but Bill said that you'd enjoy them, didn't you, Bill?
That's right. Men always like fish and chips. It's women always going about salads. I'll tell you this, though. Pat makes me up the best sandwiches to take to work that a man ever had. What's your favourite sandwich, John?
Oh,
egg and tomato, that's mine. Nice and moist. The trouble is, though, in my job, everything gets a taste of paint about it. Tell a painter and decorator about lead-flavoured sandwiches and know exactly what you're talking
Bill,
about.
Bill, what the hell are you going on about sandwiches for? I'm sure John's not interested.
Just talking, love, just talking.
Well, it's really nice of you to put me up like this, really. I'm very grateful to you both.
Not at all. Your dad was a big pal of mine. Best bloke in the world, your dad.
He means they drank a lot together.
True enough. I took him home many a night. But there's a lot more to your dad than drinking, if you bother to look. He thought the world of you, you know.
I know.
Talk about you for hours. He used to go up to total strangers in the street and show them your photograph. That's my lad, he used to say. Lives in London now, married to a lovely girl called Sally.
Her name's Sarah.
Well, Sally, Sarah, no matter. They didn't know who he was anyway. He certainly used to talk about her, though. Very smart girl, he used to say. He's married a very smart girl, lovely voice and manners, well-educated. Well, you know what the Welsh are like about education.
Pretty, I didn't get any.
Well, you've done all right for yourself, haven't you?
Yes, I've been very lucky.
I mean, I was very bright at school. Asked me to add something, say 142 and 237, and I'd say 379 before you could blink. If they said, what are macules? I'd say small flat spots are coloured areas caused by deposits of pigment embedded in the skin. So what? I've still ended up eating lead-tasting sandwiches. Still, that's the system, isn't it? They don't want people like me coming out of school knowing what macules are, do they? Scares the hell out of them. What they want us to know is how to make bloody car parks. Still, come the revolution.
Well, you're not a communist, are you, Bill?
As far as Bill's concerned, and you haven't got a suit, you're a communist.
Oh, well, you can't buy a suit any time.
No, thanks, I'll stick with my lead sandwich.
You haven't seen my suit, have you?
I don't need two suits for the silly. I'm too bright to conform with idiots. I wouldn't be seen dead in a suit, not even at my own funeral.
Well, you married me, so you must be pretty bright.
True. Anyone who works in a library has to be good news, as far as I'm concerned. Mind you, John, I think she loves books more than she loves me sometimes.
No doubt about it.
Listen to her. You're like me, John. Books are for table legs.
Books are wonderful. They're such lovely things in themselves. Just to hold a book in my hands, to feel its shape and texture. It's a real joy to me.
See what I mean? She gets all sexy about the bloody things.
Dad never read either, except for newspapers. And then only the sport. And then only the boxing. And then only there'd been a knockout.
Oh, that'll be Anne.
Ah, right then. It's wreath choosing time.
Listen, why don't we go out to a pub tonight, all of us? Cheer ourselves up. Drink ourselves daft, eh?
I think Dad would approve of that.
Good. Then it's on.
Hello, can I help you?
Hello, my name's Anne Williams. I phoned you yesterday about choosing a wreath.
Oh, yes, that's right. Well, it boils down to a choice of two, actually. That sort or that sort. It's not much of a choice, is it?
Which is the most expensive?
That sort.
Well, it'll have to be that sort, then. Can't skimp on Dad's final flowers, can we?
Well, we only have one, Dad, don't we? When do you want it for?
Day after tomorrow, is that all right?
Ah, that's fine. Your brother and sister?
Yes.
Oh, it must be a very sad time for you, very sad.
Yes.
Would I know your father at all?
It's possible. He's lived here all his life. Lots of people do seem to know him around here.
Oh, what was his name?
Jack.
Oh, dear, there's a lot of Jacks.
Oh, this is Jack Williams.
Jack Williams?
He lived in Colwyn Avenue.
Jack Williams? From Colwyn Avenue?
Yes.
God, of course I knew him. Of course I did.
Well, that's him.
Oh, dear, is he dead?
If he isn't, cancel the lead.
John.
Everybody around here knew Jack Williams. A lovely old man. Loved to chat. We haven't seen him around for quite a while, though.
No, he was bedridden.
Oh, that's sad. Oh, poor Jack. Oh, well, comes to us all, I suppose.
Anyway, thanks for your help.
Oh, he used to talk about you know, all the time. He was very proud of you.
So I believe.
Oh, yes, said you were married to a very nice girl, an English girl. Oh, teacher at a university or something.
Well, actually...
Yes, he was very proud of you, very proud indeed. Always showing photographs of you.
Even though it was my sister who looked after him all the time he was ill.
Loved both of you. To remember the flowers he bought you, darling.
Flowers?
I can remember him as though it were yesterday. Standing just there saying, I want the best bunch of flowers you've got. It's my daughter's birthday.
Well, I never got them.
Oh, you must have forgotten.
I never got them. I wouldn't forget a thing like that.
That's odd. He never paid for the night, though. Come to that. You just reminded me.
Yeah, I think we ought to be getting along. Nice to meet you.
Right. Anyway, you can be sure we'll make a really special job of the wreath. Really nice. Oh, fancy poor old
Jack. Thank you.
Oh, it was a pity he didn't come early in the week, though. It was double green shield stamps.
Funny thing. The sun is shiny, but I can't get warm.
Right, then I'll close the window.
Did I nod off just then?
No, just for a little while.
I'll miss your company.
I'll miss yours. Shove's no pain.
No, just cold, that's all. Well, it's a bit of pain.
Do you want me to get an injection?
No, not yet, thanks. Yeah. Just feeling a bit, you know. Like you said earlier, I've got that eighth round feeling.
Well, you are getting on a bit. I mean, look at me. Look at the state I'm in, and only half your age. You said your dad liked to talk about boxing. Was he any good?
Not much. What he liked to do was come home from the pub, make me strip off my shirt and lay into me with his bare fist. He loved it.
What was nice to have a loving dad?
Well, one night I lashed out at him and broke one of his ribs.
Nah.
He fell on the settee in agony, crying out, "Wonderful boy, wonderful!"
What a chase.
He even staggered upstairs to tell my mum that I'd broken his rib. He was so proud.
What did she say?
She didn't believe it was broken, just told him to get to bed and get some sleep. Well, until the next day that she found out it was true.
Then what did she say?
She just said that it was like living in a madhouse sometimes.
Sounds fair enough.
God, it's cold.
I'm a bit cold myself.
But don't pull the wool, you old devil.
All right, then.
Nice of you to bother, though.
Don't mention it.
It won't be long now.
Cheer up, come on.
I don't worry, it doesn't bother me.
Good.
Funny old world, isn't it?
Oh, hysterical.
One minute you're Aaron Ladd, the next, rubbish. Hey, I've just broken my dream. It was about someone telling me they were going to die.
I think I'll go and talk to somebody else at a gym.
It wasn't really a dream I was having, though. Just a memory.
Here we are. One for Anne, one for Pat, one for John, one for Tom. I just wish I was getting one for your dad, John.
Yeah, well, let's drink to him, whatever he is, shall we?
That's right.
Well, Bill's just bought me the drink, hasn't he? What do you want me to do? Put it in a flower vase? If there's one thing I hate, it's going to a pub, having to take it easy.
Remember, you just out of hospital. You should be having sips of milk, not pines.
If I had to drink milk, I'd rather be in the box with Jack.
Oh, you're mad. That's what you are.
True, my love, but not very. Insanity sort of strolls in our family. It was your dad who was mad.
Well, we all know that.
Not as mad as he liked you to think. I think he was wonderful. When I go, I'll share a drink with him in hell.
Oh, so that's where you think he's going?
It's where Tom thinks he's going.
No. Is that right, Tom?
No doubt about it. Only place to go. And if your dad's not there, I'll phone him up, ask him over for a drink.
Oh. Yeah, Jack wouldn't be happy in heaven. It'd be full of teetotalers.
Well, worse than that. It'd be full of conservatives.
Don't tell me Tories go to hell. I couldn't stand it.
Of course they don't.
Well, where do they go?
Only God knows that.
And he's not saying in case someone lets the buggers out.
Well, I'm sure Mum's in heaven. And if she's there, it must be a wonderful place.
Yeah, I'll drink to that.
Me too.
You'll drink to anything.
Absolutely.
Just take it easy.
Shut up. It's like being...
Funeral?
Well, if your dad was here, he wouldn't want us to be a lot of miseries, would he?
If Dad was here, we wouldn't be here.
This conversation is getting very odd.
Oh, well, my trousers.
What have you done?
Oh, I just remembered about the suit I've had to bring with me. The trousers are too big in the waist. They keep falling down.
You should put them on tonight. Give me a turn.
What, take care. I'll give you a smack bottom talking to men like that.
That's you all over, Bill, making promises your body can't
Don't
keep.
Don't take that, Bill.
What's that supposed to mean?
I think we ought to change the subject.
What subject?
Listen, I got a pair of braces you can borrow. Let me have them back, though, after the funeral.
Your pants keep dropping down, Tom.
Only since he's been ill with his stomach.
All these trousers dropping down is like a maiden's prayer.
How much have you had to drink?
Not enough.
No, don't take her so seriously, Bill. She's just having a good time. Well, trying to. It's just your sense of humour, isn't it, Pat?
That's right.
Well, it's an odd sense of humour, I think.
Gallows humour, they call it.
When's the execution, love?
Not long now.
What do you mean?
John, for God's sake, don't get us started on that.
On what?
Nothing. Just don't get us started.
What Bill is trying to stop me saying is something I've been saying for years.
People think she's crackers and I think they're right.
What I've always known, ever since being a little girl, is that I'm going to die on my 50th birthday.
I told you not to get us started on it. Now, hands up, everyone who thinks she's crackers.
You're not serious, are you?
Ask Bill.
Oh, she's serious, all right. She's crackers, but she's serious.
Well, why the hell should you die on your 50th birthday?
I don't know. I just know I will. I always have.
I've never heard you say this before, Pat.
You're lucky.
And when will you be 50?
In 2 weeks' time.
Shall I get another round, yeah?
I haven't finished this one yet.
No. Wait a minute. Let me get this straight. You say you're going to suddenly die in a fortnight's time?
Yes.
But you're bursting with good health. I mean, look at you.
Absolute picture.
So what are you going to die of?
I'm not sure. I'm just going to pop off, that's all.
Can we change the subject, please? Please, can we change
Dying
the subject?
Dying is when things will really start to happen to me.
Well, I'm sure we'll all be very pleased about that, my love. And when you're dead, you can find out whether Jack's in heaven or in hell.
I'll do that, yeah.
Now, for Pete's sake, change the damn subject. Coming to a pub and talking about death is like going to bed with Rita Hayworth and talking about dark.
Sounds okay to me.
Tom, you were saying something about getting some drinks
all right.
Romeo, in the
club. Romeo, you two. Honestly, I don't know what's got into you.
Booze, that's what's got into us. Booze.
Well, I've had booze too.
You're telling me.
Romeo. But out of respect for Jack and poor old Johnny.
No, don't worry,
sorry. Of course it is. What's wrong with you, Bill? Jack would have loved tonight. You know he would.
All the same.
All the same, nothing.
Oh, Bill, keep your eyes on the road. You're driving like a maniac.
If you don't like the way I drive, you can damn well get out.
I couldn't if I wanted to. We're packed in like sardines.
Tom and I are getting out soon. Just round the corner.
I know where you live, Anne. I'm not likely to drive past.
Oh, that's what you think. Anyway, I'm very happy being crushed up in the back here. You're happy too, aren't you, John?
Honestly, Pat, if we could see in this car, I bet my poor brother be blushing his head off.
Are you blushing, John?
Well,
are you a shy boy? This is number two, and I make a man of
Pat, for heaven's sake!
Here we are, Billy, at our house. It's
there, Bill.
God, I nearly drove past it.
I'm not saying anything.
Thanks for the evening and for the lift.
Good night, all.
Night.
See you tomorrow.
Good night.
Good night, John, love. Have a good night's sleep.
Oh, he will. Don't worry. He's got the best room in the house. Good night, Dan.
Good night.
Good night, Tom.
Good night.
Careful now, Tom.
All right.
Oh, it's been a lovely evening. A really lovely, relaxing evening. I feel great.
I don't know why you didn't come round and sit in the front with me.
I'm happy where I am. Very happy where I am.
Well, John, what do you think of the old place now you're back?
Quite a few changes.
None for the better.
Even my old school's gone. I couldn't recognise the area.
I know. Just a bloody car park now.
What's it like for jobs around here these days?
Pretty bad, but there's usually work around for painters and decorators. Mm. That's why I took up the trade. Mind you, come the revolution, there'll be work for us all, right?
That's right.
It's a disgrace what's happened to this place since the war. It's all offices now and great patches of nothing. And cars driving over where schools used to be. It's not what people fought for, John. Still, who gives a toss about people these days? Never mind, soon we all put the revolution to bed for the night.
It's only me, John. Is everything all right? Excuse my nightdress. I was just getting into bed when I thought I'd better check with you.
Check what?
That everything's okay. The room and everything, you know.
Oh, yes, fine, fine. I was just about to get into bed myself.
To tell you the truth, it's the best bed. I often sleep in it myself.
Is Bill asleep?
Oh, snoring his head off. The capitalists can all relax.
Yeah, well, I'll be the same before long, I guess, snoring away.
Well, I just wanted to see that everything was all right.
Yes, really, fine. Thanks for everything, Pat. You're a lovely lady.
And you are sure there's nothing you want?
No, nothing, really.
You're sure?
Can't think of anything.
Well, if you do, don't hesitate to give a little tap on my door. I'm a very light sleeper.
Okay, then.
Oh, by the way, I'm inclined to sleepwalk. Sometimes I get up in the night and walk into another room. It's when I'm feeling restless. So don't be surprised if your door opens a little later on.
I probably think it's a ghost.
Oh, I'm not a ghost yet. Still 2 weeks to go, remember?
Oh, now, Pat. It's really silly talking like that, and you can see how it upsets Bill.
You'll see.
It upsets everyone.
I'm sorry.
Just don't worry about it.
I'm not. I'm looking forward to
it. I'll tell you what I'll do. In 2 weeks' time, when I'm back in London, I'll phone you up, and there you'll be alive and well, and we'll have a good laugh about things, okay?
Well, you can ring, certainly. My birthday's on the 16th, but it won't be me who answers. Sorry, John.
God, this conversation is bizarre. Honestly, Pat, my head is spinning.
I'll let you get to bed, then.
Thanks. Whether I sleep is another matter.
Well, if you can't, you won't be disturbed if I sleepwalk, will you?
What happened? Oh, you were talking away as usual and you sort of drifted off into sleep again. Didn't look too good, though. Seemed to be in trouble, so I got some help.
They fixed me, did they?
Yeah, you'll be all right now.
Hey, careful.
Well, when did I drop off? I mean, not long ago.
Well, about an hour.
You haven't been here all the time, have you?
Nah. Went back and joined some of the others, but they were talking about books. Got a bit bored.
Hey, did you make all that stuff up?
What stuff?
You know, about you and Pat and her coming into the bedroom and everything.
I said all that, didn't
I? Yes, you did. Trouble is, you seem to have a problem separating fact from fantasy. Or should I say you have no problem separating them. I'm not sure whether it's because you're ill or Welsh.
They're not really true and they're not lies either. It's a bit like life, really.
Well, I know the difference.
Liar.
I do.
Believe me, Ted, most of the troubles in the world are caused by people who believe they have the fact.
Are you saying there's no such thing as a fact?
Absolutely. And that's a fact.
Well, I think I'll go back and listen to them talking about books.
Well, Pat thought books were wonderful. Just to hold them sometimes.
Did she come back into your room?
No, thank God.
What would you have done?
I don't know.
Well, just as well she didn't, then.
I'm one of those Welshmen who dreams of illicit sex after praying it doesn't happen. I went to sleep and suddenly it was morning and Pat was downstairs in the kitchen singing away and cooking breakfast. Big fry-up for the three of us. For all the world, as though...
What's the matter?
I don't know, really. I just feel odd.
Well, you look all right.
But you were the big lad for truth.
I mean, you don't look any worse.
Small comfort.
It's probably the stuff they gave you.
I'm so tired.
You talk too much, that's why.
Poor old Ted, everywhere he turns, boredom.
Look, it's all right, I'm not bored.
You said I talked too much.
I didn't mean it.
I've been trouble separating fact from fantasy, haven't you?
Oh, very smart, Mr. Williams.
Well, I'm glad you're not bored, at least I'm glad you're not saying you are.
Good.
I don't want to stop now, you see.
Who's stopping you?
It's good having you around.
Well, it shows how bad things are when it's good having me around.
Well, you make me feel like those days as a kid, when I lay on my back in the sun and all the world was seagulls and sand and big white waves.
Good for me.
When the sun went down, there were sandwiches for tea in front of the wireless. And after that, the pictures, snug in the dark, with Alan Ladd.
You feeling better now?
I was just thinking of the day of Dad's funeral.
I'm sorry I spoke.
There was rain in the air. And I was glad because I could wear a mac and it covered my suit and the opal braces that Tom had lent me. Three black cars. Dad in front, of course. In the middle car, my sister and myself and Aunt Gwen, who couldn't stop crying. In the third car, bringing up the rear, collection of relatives. I remember asking Aunt Gwen not to upset herself. And her saying,
"One by one, the ones I care for are taken away."
Take it easy, Aunt.
One by one.
Don't get too upset.
We work and struggle. All our lives. For what?
Well, that's the big question, Auntie Gwen.
What's the big answer?
We go to a better place.
Well, I should hope we do. If heaven isn't better than Colwyn Bay, there'll be some questions asked.
But Dad would sure we'd all go to a better place.
Well, he'll soon find out, bless him.
I'm sure he's happy, Aunt Gwen.
He was a lovely man. Not that I've seen much of him in the past few years.
It's been 25 years, actually, Auntie Gwen.
Time goes so quickly, suddenly so many funerals. Poor Jack, he was a gentleman and so kind and so thoughtful.
Well, Mam loved Dad, all right, but I think she might have a different story.
Wives always have a different story, but your dad was kindness itself to me. When my husband died, it was your father who got me through it all. After the funeral, he came back to the house, stayed with me after everyone else had gone. We talked for hours. He was a wonderful talker. He really took my mind off things.
I've never heard about this.
In the evening, he went out and brought a bunch of flowers and a bottle of whiskey. I'll tell you something, shall I? Your dad was the first man ever to get me drunk. I'd always been against drink, but your dad said at times like this, Gwen, it's the only way. Drink takes away all pain. And he was right. We talked and drank, and after a while everything became different. When I woke in the morning, I could remember nothing. Not going to bed, nothing.
Gee, Auntie Gwen, Dad has never told us that story.
He was a lovely man, not one to tell others of kindness he'd done. And he always talked with love about you as children.
What did he say about Mam?
Not much.
Sounds more like Dad.
But I'm sure he loved her very much in his own way. And talking of children, about 9 months after the funeral, I gave birth to my lovely son, Danny. Although my husband was dead, I thanked God with all my heart that he'd made it possible to conceive just before he died. I was so happy and surprised as well, because I couldn't really remember it taking place.
Just if you're thinking what I'm thinking, keep your mouth shut.
Oh.
What happened?
Oh, the hearse just crashed into that van.
Oh, no.
What the hell are you playing at? Oh. Are you blind or something? You nearly shot him. What's your language? I happen to be in charge of a funeral procession.
Yes,
and it was very nearly my bloody funeral.
Bloody, is it bloody?
What are you trying to do? Rustle up train? Can we have a little respect for the mourners behind? Bugger the mourners, come on my van.
Sorry, we can settle this.
And can settle it now. There are people in the car behind me who happen to be in a very distressed state.
Are they?
Well, they're not the only ones in a distressed state. And when my boss sees the van, he'll be in a distressed state.
Put your window down. I want to have a word.
And make it quick. It's right out here.
Yes, is it? Look, can't you see this is a funeral, for God's sake?
Of course I can see it's a funeral. I'm not blind. It's that driver over there who's blind. Didn't you see what happened?
No, I didn't.
What, none of you?
Oh, mine's having to be occupied with other things.
Look, you're not the only ones with a death in the family, you know. It's happening all the time. We've all got our problems.
Oh, how dare you speak like this? How dare you? You're an evil, evil man.
I wasn't talking to you, Mother Riley.
It was your fault, anyway.
What?
You came out of that side road without looking what you were doing.
Oh, suddenly you did see what happened.
Yes, I did.
Very convenient.
It's the truth.
It's a lie, and you know it. For one thing, the windows are all covered in bloody rain.
Oh, this language. Your poor father must be turning in his coffin, John.
So, it's your father, is it?
Yes, it is, and I wish you'd just leave us alone.
Who was he? Anyone I know?
I doubt it very much. Jack Williams was a gentleman and very choosy about the company he kept.
Jack Williams? Oh, bloody hell, is that who it is? God, I heard he was dead. You do mean Jack Williams from Colwyn Avenue, don't you?
I'm afraid we do.
Oh, Jack, he was an old pal of mine. And we used to have many a drink together, Jack and me. In fact, he still owes me a fiver.
Yeah, well, if I give you a fiver, will you go?
No need, no need. I mean, I didn't know it was Jack in the box, did I? Anyway, my argument was with the old misery face driving the house.
Will you please go, you horrible man, and take your filthy tongue with you?
All right, seeing as it's Jack, we'll say no more. But if it had been anyone else, there would have been blood spilled today, and I don't mind telling
Look,
you.
Look, can we now get on with the funeral?
I'll go, I'll go.
Thank you.
Providing my van starts, of course.
Tell me, darling, did you really see me coming too fast out of the side road?
Yes, I did.
You got sharp eyes now. Hmm? Right.
I'm off. On with the show. Forget about the fiver, Jack. Have it on me.
And? You didn't see him come out of the side road, did you?
Of course not. It seemed obvious he did.
I didn't know you could lie like that.
Said John, keep your mouth shut.
Is that a true story?
Well, you have to read between the lines.
Oh, I forgot to tell you, your wife phoned again.
Well, what do they say to her?
The usual.
Holding my own or something equally rude?
Something like that. She'll be coming later on.
Yeah, I hope she's going to be all right. It's easy for me. All I've got to do is die.
I've enjoyed listening to you, John.
Thanks for being here.
Oh, I wasn't going anywhere.
Well, thank God we don't live in America. No one can die there, none of those prices. All people have died here, jogging around in tracksuits, hoping God won't spot them. If only they knew what a friend God was. There's a poem about soldiers being shot in the First World War that ends, "Some say God caught them even before they fell." That poem was a favourite of my dad's. Oh, that reminds me.
What now?
Dad fell in the graveyard.
What?
Well, his coffin did.
Yeah, you're making it
I'm
up.
Not honest.
What the hell happened?
Well, as they were wheeling the coffin along the bumpy path of the grave, they stumbled and the coffin fell off the trolley into the bushes.
Oh, no.
I hope God caught him before he fell. We walked away from the cemetery. My sister and I were supporting Aunt Gwen and the relatives following behind. Looked as though they didn't know where the hell they were. And I'm not surprised.
Well, it's about over, love.
Now what?
Well, I'm off back to Sarah and the children and the world of God knows what.
And I stay here among all the memories. Me and the ghosts.
You think this place is really haunted?
Of course it is. You know it is.
Yes, I guess I do.
It'll be haunting us until the end of our days, you'll see.
So what now?
We'll be like Asquith. We'll wait and see.
What do you want to do with your life, I mean?
Oh, go and live in Beverly Hills with Tyrone Power, something like that.
They didn't deserve you.
I'll tell you something I've always wanted to do. Do you remember, as kids, we went to the fun fair in Rilford?
Oh, I sure do. That was our Hollywood, wasn't it? And Mam saw us off in the shadow with tears in her eyes as though we were going to America.
Yes.
She waved and waved until we were right out of sight. We were only going for the afternoon.
And you bought her monkey on the stick, remember? You're so thrilled with it. Couldn't wait to give it to her. And then you went left on the shower coming home. I was so upset. Remember?
Didn't mind, though, did she? She was just so pleased we were back safe and sound.
I've often thought about that fun fair. I've often thought that is where I'd like to work.
A bit different to Beverly Hills.
Not much.
No, perhaps you're right.
It's hard to explain why I feel the way I do about it, but I've been back there once or twice in the past few years, and I always feel happy there. Well, let's say it's a place where I don't feel too sad. If you know what I mean.
What would you do there?
Don't mind, really. But I think if I had a choice, I'd like to be running the children's train ride. I'd just like to spend all day in that box that's like a little house. I could just sit there by myself, looking through those little curtains, taking the money, sending the children round and waiting for them to come back.
Well, I wish you luck. You deserve it. Of all people, you deserve it.
Don't worry. I'm like Mam. Long as there's love, to hell with the monkey on the stick, right?
What's the funny thing, being a part of other people? It hurts.
It's nice, though, isn't it?
Oh, I don't know. I don't know what it's like. I mean, I don't have the words.
Funny coming from you. If nothing else, you always have the words.
Well, sometimes words are no damn good, no good at all.
Do you have to go home tonight?
I can't take any more time off, love.
Do you wish you could? No, don't answer. It's all right. It's been lovely having you back again. I'm really going to miss you. Well, I've never really stopped.
Perhaps things will get better.
Perhaps.
I haven't been much of a brother, have I? Well, I haven't. Nor a son either, leaving it all this time.
If you weren't much of a son, why did Dad show your photos to strangers in the street? If you weren't much of a brother, why did I break my sweet in half?
I love you.
Mum would have been so proud of you. Come on now, No tears.
Oh, Anne, love. Maybe I haven't got the words, but I...
No, it's all right, really.
I feel like Mum standing by the shower.
No tears, Carrick, I said.
All right.
It's bad enough with poor Aunt Gwen. Poor old love.
She's drinking herself stupid. Well,
why not? What else has she got?
Yeah, I suppose so. Do you think that really was the father? You're always telling me to
Wisdom and a shut mouth are two of a kind.
Well, that's what Gran used to say.
I know, she's a wise old gypsy.
I don't remember her ever giving a mouth shut, though.
Careful what you say. I bet she's listening.
Yes, I bet she is. I bet everyone who ever died in this house is here today. All listening.
And Dad? He'll be here as well.
In that case, I'll say no more about him and Auntie Gwen.
Good.
It's quite a thought, though, isn't
it? Slick and Tom.
Well, now, what are you two plotting?
Oh, nothing really, Tom. Just sort of saying goodbye.
Hello, goodbye. It's life all over.
True enough.
It's been a funny old funeral, hasn't it? Van crashing into yours, coughing falling off the trolley, hard to believe. When I go, I just want to burn like a bugger, all right?
Where you're going, you'll burn all right, don't worry.
I don't want any holes in the ground, I daft preachers, all that stuff. Strike a match. Boom. Ta-da. Ask me.
Well, for once you won't complain about the cold, will you?
Yeah, that's right. In the meantime, we just carry on best we can, don't we?
That's it.
Off you go. I'll have to go back to listening to Anne talking about you.
Oh, I'm sorry about that.
I know, it's all right, John. Small price to pay for all she's done for me.
Shut up, you old fool. You had too much to drink.
Listen to her. Never could take a compliment graciously.
Take care then, love.
I'll do my best.
Give my love to Sarah and the kids.
Oh, of course. You know, I feel like the day when I left home all those years ago.
Don't remind me.
I was looking out of the window like this, watching all the places I knew go by.
I'll never forget that day as long as I live.
I was wearing a brand new plastic Mac. But I thought I looked really smart.
I watched the train go by as I sat at my school desk. I could see through the window, taking you away from me. I just sat there, stiff and staring, beating the desktop up and down, feeling so miserable.
Hold on.
I kept on beating the desktop until the train was out of sight. The others in the class must have thought I was crackers. Perhaps I was. I'll never forget the feeling.
Oh, I'll try not to make it so long this time.
Goodbye, God bless.
Goodbye, Tom. Thanks for everything.
That's all right. Look after yourself. Hey, you've still got my braces.
Oh, Tom.
Oh, God. They're still on my trousers in the suitcase.
It doesn't matter. Send them for a
letter. No, it does matter. Only once I've got. Quick, get them out.
I can't find them.
Quick.
Run alongside the train. That's it.
Oh, hurry up.
I'm doing my best.
God, my stomach hurts.
Oh, I got them. Here we are. Just a second.
I can't run anymore.
I threw them on the platform.
It's too late.
There. Here we are. There.
Thanks. I think I'm dying.
I'll wait as soon as I get home.
Braces must have been very important to him.
Anne wrote to me sometime later and she said he never wore them, ever. I don't know what the fuss was all about.
So that was it then?
Yeah. Train arrived in London and as I stepped from the carriage I saw Sarah and the kids away down the platform. They saw me and came running. We were a family again. Glad to be together. I'd be more dad than son now, moving on to God knows where, playing the part as best I could before I was only remembered sometimes in old photos in wallets at the back of drawers.
Well, it's more than will happen to me. Is that the end of the story, then? John?
What?
Is that the end of the story?
What?
You okay? You still with us?
I feel I'm made of cloud, white and bloodless, floating free.
Wish I felt the same.
Jumble it as we will. It's all in the stars.
What is?
She called me a couple of times to say it was on the table.
Who did?
Sarah. She kept calling.
What was on the table?
It was 2 weeks after.
After what?
There you are at last. It'll be cold. It's been on the table for... What's wrong?
I was just trying to phone Pat.
Couldn't you get her?
It was Bill who answered. She's dead.
What?
Died yesterday, Bill said. She just went out in the morning, had her hair done all special, bought a new nightdress, and then came back home and went to bed. When he went to see her sometime later, she was just lying there, dead.
God, how awful. What was wrong with her?
I can't believe it.
Well, she wasn't old, was she?
50. Yesterday.
Oh, hello, Ted. I was just having a quiet look at the view.
Mind if I join you?
Of course not. I'm glad of the company. Everyone else seems to be having a bit of a sleep. How's old John?
Well, he's having a bit of a sleep, too. Mm. At least I think that's what he's doing.
How do you mean?
Oh, nothing, really. He's just sort of drifted off a bit. He was telling me about this woman called Pat, and then he didn't even bother to finish what he was saying.
Does he need help of any kind?
No, he's fine. Just sort of gone into himself, that's all. Thought it best to leave him alone.
Well, thanks for looking after him, Ted. I honestly thought he was never going to talk to anyone.
Well, once he started, he couldn't stop, could he?
Obviously needed to.
So it seems.
Still, as you say, best to leave him alone for a while.
I think so.
His wife's coming in later on, anyway.
Oh, good.
Nice woman.
Very nice. He thinks the world of her, anyway.
Have you never thought of having a wife?
No, can't say I have.
Not even a steady girlfriend?
No, not even a steady boyfriend.
Oh. I see. You too, eh?
Funny old world, isn't it?
Certainly is.
Nothing is what it seems, Mr. Peterson. That's the only certain thing. Even Sarah knows that, however much you flirt. Hmm. Well, she likes it, though.
How are you feeling, anyway?
Oh, fine. It's funny, I haven't got long to go, but I keep saying that. In a way, it's true.
You look okay, that's for sure.
Flatterer. I look a damn sight.
No, it's true. You look really good.
You're not trying to get off with me, are you, Mr. Peterson?
No, Tess. Sorry.
Just as well.
And I always thought that boxers were rough, tough, masculine folk, you know, butch.
Well, there you are. I could still break your nose, though.
You're a nice lad, Ted. It's been a pleasure to know you.
Likewise. I'm sorry, it won't be longer.
I'm sorry, too.
Yeah, well, I don't think I should stand here feeling sorry for myself when there's so much to do. So, let's get on, shall we?
Absolutely.
You were right, Dad. Right all the time. Love, so warm it bubbles the blood, and a tunnel spinning me around. Here I go, tumbling down the giant fall of all. Church of Nativity, the golden gates, unfamiliar stairs to glory, steps of wondrous wood, beautiful death. It burns with color. And an open door. It's true. We don't see the light until it's out. It's true. I'd climb the stairs like you did, Dad, each night to Bedlam. There are songs from my slippers, though, and angels on my landing. I never voted Tory, Dad. I never voted Tory. Are you waiting, Mum? Young and lovely like in those photos before you were married. You were always lovely. Are you there, Jock? I wish I could get your watch and give it back to you. I wonder if it's still around, rusty and stopped at 11:20. We'll make the time spin backwards, though, won't we? Make it shine again. And Sarah, I've loved you since the day I first saw you. It was for all the world as though I'd known you before. Never mind the hugs. A small complaint and a vast appreciation. You're still there, Ted? Still with me? It's so... Dad... Remember the last words I heard you say? He'll be back, you said. Won't be long now. Good night, Dad. And see you soon. I'm really looking forward to it being together. After all these years, I'm not afraid of meeting you. It'll be all right, won't it? Good night. God bless. It will be all right. Won't it?
Do you know much about gardens?
I can't say I do.
A garden says it all.
Well, I'm sure you're right, Mr. Peterson. But to tell you the honest truth, I got my pleasure sitting in pubs.
Do you want a drink now?
Yeah, a large, neat whiskey would be very nice.
I was thinking more in terms of a cup of tea.
Oh, that'd be nice too. Thanks.
Right. I'll go and get some. I'll call in on John as well, just check that all's well.
Oh, I shouldn't bother. I have a feeling he'll be miles away by now.
In Jack in the Box, the cast was John, Nigel Anthony, Ted, Ken Cumberledge, and Anne, Mary Sues. Sarah and Woman in Flower Shop, Helena Breck, Peterson and the Van Driver, Geoffrey Whitehead, Preacher, David King, Tom, Philip Sully, Pat, Carol Boyd, Bill, Richard Tate, and Gwen, Joan Matheson. The violin music was composed by Jan Squire and played by Catherine Adams. Jack in the Box was written by Jerry Jones and directed by Martin Jenkins.